Do you wonder what God has in store for you this year? Perhaps He will call you to go through extremely difficult circumstances. Perhaps He will send you the happiest days of your life. Perhaps He will call you to do something that you feel is completely beyond your strength. Maybe a new situation at work. Maybe a new situation in your family circumstances or your relationships. I don't know. Maybe this year will be a year full of challenges, hardships and trials. Your health decreasing and your worries increasing. How will you cope? Where will you find the strength? Well, over the course of the first three evening services of this year, I want to look with you at the source of immense strength and courage. We're going to be looking at the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua describes how Joshua led the nation of the Israelites through challenge upon challenge and challenge, chiefly in the fact that they invaded and conquered and possessed the land of Canaan, the promised land. Joshua as a book contains some brilliant stories that I know many of you this evening have grown up with. For instance, Rahab hiding the two spies on her roof and then lowering them down the side of her wall. Or the fall of the city of Jericho, how Joshua's army simply walked around it once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, blew their trumpets, and the walls fell down. Fascinating, fascinating episodes in this book. But it's really with the opening of the book that we're going to be focusing on. In fact, tonight and over the next two evening services, we're not really going to be going outside the first nine verses. Joshua 1:1-9. God's commission of Joshua, or God's call to Joshua, where He gives this commission that Joshua is to lead Israel. Up until now, Joshua has been number two. He has been behind the scenes. He has been Moses' servant. But now Moses is dead, and God has commanded Joshua to take over. He's commanded Joshua to take on the leadership of the Israelites. And he's now in charge of this massive, massive nation. And in chapter 1, verse 2, we hear the challenge given to Joshua from God. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites." Now, this was a massive task. Literally, in the book of Numbers, we're told that the people who lived in Canaan were strong. The cities were armed. The cities were large. The people were described as giants. The spies, remember, 12 spies were sent in. Their report in Numbers 13, verses 32 and 33, was something like this. "All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Now, people talk about a David versus Goliath kind of contest. This is worse than David and Goliath. This is a little bit like Regent House under 12 C rugby team coming up against the All Blacks, the New Zealand international rugby team. Can you picture a bunch of snotty, weedy, spotty boys standing opposite the All Blacks as they perform their haka? You're beginning to grasp something of the task ahead of the Israelites here. How could Joshua lead them to conquer the people of Canaan, these giants? Moses was gone, the great hero. When Israel needed him most, he was not there. What an enormous task Joshua was facing. A little bit reluctant to use another sporting analogy, but Joshua had big shoes to fill. It's a little bit like David Moyes having big shoes to fill at Old Trafford, replacing Sir Alex Ferguson. That's kind of the hero status that Moses had to these people. Now, it might be, friends, you're facing an enormous task. It could be that God is asking something really big of you this year. Perhaps you're really worried about what this year holds. Some of our young people, you will have exams. Maybe you have school choices to make, university choices. What will you do after school? Maybe you're worried about speaking to a certain friend about the gospel. Seems like an impossible task. Seems like an enormous task. Perhaps every day is just hard. It's difficult. Maybe you find it difficult to make friends. Maybe you get a hard time. You're not one of the popular ones. And it's torture. Perhaps for you it's something that you've never shared with anybody else. A bit of a secret. It could be a driving test. It might be praying out loud in a prayer meeting. It might be plucking up the courage to speak to someone about Jesus. Maybe you're being called, some of you young men, to pastoral ministry or to be a missionary. You've no idea how you will do it. Perhaps you have major surgery ahead of you this year. Perhaps you're fairly certain you will bury a loved one this year. Whatever it might be, I'm sure this evening, as you look into this year that we've entered together, there's something in front of you that you're dreading. You've no idea how you will cope, how you'll get through it, just like Joshua. Yet, throughout this book, Joshua was totally successful. Joshua was able for all of the challenges. He overcame every challenge. He was God's faithful servant throughout. And our big question tonight and over the next 2 weeks is how? What was Joshua's secret? And I think it was down to these first 9 verses of the book. God speaking to him. And so over the course of these 3 weeks, we're considering God's call to Joshua. And I hope we will all be encouraged as we face our battles and difficulties. It's a bit of a mini-series. You could title it Words for a New Year. And we're going to be focusing on these promises and commands in this passage. And this evening, we're going to consider, in what time is left, the promise of God's presence. Found in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, the promise of God's presence. It reads, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you." This is a promise that I would love to be true for all of you here this evening. I will never leave you, nor forsake you, God says. It's a golden promise. The golden promise of God's presence. 3 things to say about God's presence. Firstly, God's presence encourages us. It encourages us. How encouraging must it have been to Joshua? Here he is. He's about to lead Israel into this land full of giants. He's without the great leader Moses. And what does God say? "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's the same God who performed all the plagues in Egypt. The same God who opened the Red Sea. The same God who brought the Israelites safely out of Egypt and who led and protected and fed them. It's this God who's going to be with Joshua. It's interesting, this promise was spoken before to Moses. Moses received this promise in Exodus 3 verse 12 when he was called to face Pharaoh. And that was, if you like, Moses' first big job, his first big commission. And God, he was terrified about going to see Pharaoh, and God said to him, I will be with you. I will be with you. And here, it's a similar promise. In a similar circumstance, God saying, I will be with you, Joshua. An incredible word of encouragement. It's also a word of encouragement for us. Because later in the Bible, in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, we read, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can man do to me? Here the promise of Joshua 1 verse 5 is applied to a Christian congregation in the book of Hebrews. God promises to be present with you. So if you're a Christian this evening, he says to you, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. You ought to be encouraged. There's nothing more important for you to hear as you face your own difficult set of circumstances than for your God to say, I will be with you. I will never forsake you. When you face your challenges, it's wonderful to have God whisper this promise into your hearts. I am with you. He's with us. He's with you in the battles and in the trials, in the defeats and in the victories, in the daily humdrum tasks of the day, in our failures. He's with us to guide us, and he's with us to rebuke us, and he's with us to encourage us, to teach us, and to instruct us. And he's with us when we go out with the gospel. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, the Great Commission, Jesus gave his disciples, again, similar words to these words in Joshua 1 verse 5. Jesus said, behold, I am with you always. I am with you always to the end of the age. The same promise that God gave to Joshua. Jesus is encouraging his disciples for the work of mission. What an encouragement it is to us when we think of mission. God has promised, Jesus himself has promised, he will be with us. So friends, when we're with our friends who are lost spiritually, and when we have the opportunity to speak a word to them, remember this promise. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Perhaps when some of our young people are out on a go team, a mission team, going around homes, maybe knocking doors, getting into spiritual conversation, remember this promise. I am with you always. Those of our young adults here this evening who serve on the camps of our church, when you're standing to give a talk, or when you're leading a discussion group, you can remember this promise. Christ saying, I am with you always. When we're helping with Friday Night Club, when we're helping along with Nosh and Natter, when we're speaking to someone at our nursing home ministry, this is our promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you encouraged? by that. You're not alone. And no matter how difficult things might get, no matter how lonely you might feel, God's with you. No matter how scared or nervous you might be about speaking out for Him, He's promised He will never leave you. We should remember this, friends. It's a golden promise. And we should remember it especially in the hard times. We were singing from Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Even there, even in the valley of the shadow of death, the hardest place of them all, He's with us. This promise encourages us. God's presence encourages us, friends. Although if it encourages us, it also challenges us. That's our second point this evening. God's presence challenges us. God will never leave you or forsake you. He is always with you. He is always with you. Now, if God is always with me, He sees everything I do. He hears everything I say. He sees everything I see. He observes to what extent I put my heart into my work. He notices how I speak to my wife. He hears me when I grumble or complain. He knows even the thoughts of my heart. We walk before a God who is everywhere present. A God who knows everything. Therefore, not only should His presence encourage us, but it challenges us. He never leaves us. He's always there, always with us. Do we live like we know this truth? I can remember having a rule of thumb when I was younger, watching a DVD or going to the cinema. And the rule was, would I be happy to continue watching this if my minister walked into the room? Would I be happy to keep on watching this? Usually it was a fairly good rule. But the thing was, God was with me all the time. Do we forget that our God in heaven is always with us? I think we do. I think the sad fact is that many of us live our lives with little thought of God being present with us. Surely, if we lived with this fresh in the forefront of our minds, our sins of the tongue, like gossip and hurtful words, would instantly stop. Every moment of our lives lived in the presence of Almighty God. Everything we search for in Google, God sees it. Those of our young people with boyfriends, girlfriends, God sees you all the time. Those who can use their phone to check the internet, you might think no one else can see what you can browse, but God sees. God sees. And He says to you this evening, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Are we really aware that He's always with us, friends? Surely it would restrain us from so many sins. We should pray that God would make us more aware of this fact, that we're living our lives every moment under His all-seeing eye. God's presence, it challenges us. It encourages us and it challenges us. Thirdly, God's presence is all because of Jesus. God's presence is all because of Jesus. As you may know, there are several names for Jesus used in the Bible. For instance, Messiah, Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. One of the names for Jesus that we hear, especially around Christmas time, is found in Isaiah 7, verse 14. It reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel. Now, can we remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. One of the names for Jesus actually means God with us. The very fact that God is with us is all because of Jesus. All because of Emmanuel. God with us. We remember Jesus left heaven to come to this earth, being born as a baby, so that he could be Emmanuel. God with us. But there's an even greater sense in which God's presence is because of Jesus. On the cross, we're told in Mark 15, verse 34, that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" These words mean that for a little while, Jesus was literally forsaken by his Father. The word forsaken is very strong there. It means to abandon or to desert, to disown, to turn away from. When Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" it was because God the Father abandoned his Son. Because the Father looked down on the cross and saw his Son bearing the sin of the world. And instead of his beloved Son, he saw the sin that he was bearing. And in that awful moment, the Father turned away. Not in anger at his Son, but in anger over the sin his Son was bearing. In anger over your sin and over my sin. And Jesus was left alone, completely forsaken. God forsaken. Deserted, disowned, abandoned. Jesus was forsaken by his Father because we deserved to be forsaken. He was there, of course, on the cross in our place. And so, friends, if you're a Christian this evening, all the forsaking has been done. The promise of God's presence is true for us. Because of Jesus, we will never be forsaken by God. And so we can hear this promise and we can believe it, and it's true for us when he says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I forsook my Son, the Lord Jesus, so that I would never leave or forsake you." Christ was forsaken so that we might never be forsaken. Christ was abandoned so that we might never be abandoned. Christ was deserted so that we might never be deserted. He was forgotten so that we might never be forgotten. If you're a Christian this evening, you have this wonderful, wonderful promise from heaven. "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." But if you're not a Christian, this isn't a wonderful promise for you. And you should know that God will punish sin. He has to. He either puts it to Christ's account on the cross, or he puts it to your account. And he'll punish your sin on you forever and ever. And you should know that in hell, the anger and the wrath and the fury of God will never leave you and will never forsake you. And there's nothing wonderful about that. So, friends, what greater way could you start 2014 and by starting on the right foot with Jesus Christ, embracing him as your Saviour and Lord, and you can have utter confidence and complete strength and courage for whatever comes your way. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.